All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're joined today by our final guest for the program, Andrew Shooter, who we've actually previously interviewed on previous quarter programs, but this time, but Andrew Shooter is part of the campaign group Action for Public Housing in New South Wales, based in Sydney. And basically, this is a public housing activist group that's kind of formed. I mean, very much in response to kind of like the whole issue of the housing crisis and the need for, I guess, a massive expansion of public housing. So, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Jacob.
And can you give us, I guess, a bit of a background on the campaign group Action for Public Housing? I guess in terms of, a bit of a political background to how this activist group has been formed and what are some of the kind of issues affecting housing in New South Wales?
Yeah, sure. Well, a lot of the inner city housing estates, public housing estates, have been being demolished and redeveloped, sometimes entirely privatised, like iconic Sirius building that people may know, just near the Sydney Harbour Bridge, that cube, brutalist cube sort of building, that's being sold off, that has been sold off and now is multi-million dollar, apartments. But also other estates in Millers Point, The Rocks, Glebe, Waterloo, and Everly, near where I live, were being sold off, and the housing crisis and rents just getting worse. So this group, Action Public Housing, started to get more active about 2 years ago, and was holding protests and barbecues, free barbecues at various public housing estates to try to raise awareness about the issue. And it's really ramping up now as we get close to the New South Wales state election, which is next month.
And what can you tell us about some of the activities that Action for Public Housing is going to be kind of doing, and especially some of the kind of demands that you're kind of putting forward to the government?
Yeah. Well, one of the most common things that's happening with a lot of these public housing estates is that the government thinks, oh, this land is valuable. What we're going to do is we're going to knock down all the public housing and rebuild on it with 30% public housing and 70% private housing. We say that if it's public housing land, it should be 100% public housing in any redevelopment. We know that over the last 30 years, the total proportion of public housing in Australia has halved. It's gone from 6% as a fraction of all housing down to 3%. And just redeveloping these things and only ever so slightly increasing the number of public housing, homes on the land is just basically not keeping up with population growth. So the overall proportion of public housing is shrinking. And this is necessary. We need a large proportion of public housing, up to countries like Sweden or Vienna, Austria, up where you can get up to 20, 30, even 60%. We need a higher proportion in order to keep prices reasonable for everybody. So we say, 100% public housing on these sites. There are some sites, like one at Redfern, just adjacent to Redfern Oval, where the Rabbitohs train, that was public housing land. The housing was demolished 15 years ago and has been left vacant. And what we're saying there is build new public housing on this public housing land. So we're not just saying no to certain redevelopments and demolitions. We're saying yes, please build. And the political call that we make, or the slogan that we have, is defend and extend public housing. The principle of it is so important.
Sue here, Andrew, as part of the discussion this morning. I just wanted to ask where the government has succeeded or is still attempting to get rid of public housing in the inner city, have they just been flogging it off to private enterprise? And secondly, where they've retained some public housing, is it genuine public housing or is it run by so-called not-for-profit housing associations? And I'm asking this question because in Melbourne, where there, you know, always frightened and suspicious every time they talk about a redevelopment, because you know we're going to lose public housing out of it. Or but what they did in Melbourne is that they doing these redevelopments. We sort of lost the fight, although we did give them a run for their money, and a proportion was supposedly maintained as public housing, but it's actually being run by, it's still in the ownership of the Office of Housing, but it's being run by social housing or community housing providers. So in a sense, it's sort of semi-privatised. And the other thing that they did is they, of the remaining so-called public housing, they reduced the number of bedrooms from 3-bedroom to 1 or 2-bedroom. So all of the families were pushed out. So I was just wondering if you could give us a little bit more detail of what they're doing.
Yeah, the exact same thing is happening here in New South Wales. That's why we hear the term social housing being used rather than public housing. But when they use the term social housing, it's a way of eroding the distinction between fully publicly owned, publicly operated, you know, public housing and merely affordable housing, which is housing, you know, rented out at a little bit less than market rates and operated by community housing providers, you know, St George Housing, Bridge Housing, there's other companies, there's other organisations. By saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be social housing, they're never very clear when they use that term, you know, what proportion of one or the other it is. But generally speaking, in all of the redevelopment of public housing in New South Wales that we're experiencing, any redevelopment will basically mean that it will then become merely social housing, sometimes owned by the government and sort of, you know, operated by community housing providers, in other cases just entirely donated to the community housing provider and run as affordable housing. And really the problem with that is the rents are not as low, not as affordable as public housing, and the conditions that tenants live under are more restrictive, and they can be evicted much more easily.
Well, that is really dangerous, because if it's like in Melbourne, the community housing providers house very few vulnerable people. So they house very few people on Newstart, and they pretty much never house anyone who's on the youth allowance. And it's because they're meant to be on a sort of growth model of where they're getting loans from the banks to build more of their social housing, and so therefore they prefer people who are working full-time or part-time who can pay slightly below market rates. And so that is really dangerous because a lot of people have no idea that these housing providers are not housing, house so few people who are on government benefits.
Yeah, that's right. And they think it's somewhat of a saving, but the one distinction is that affordable housing by being run or operated privately, it becomes eligible for Commonwealth rent assistance. So it's the government ends up paying extra to really kind of prop up or support these community housing providers' business model. So you know really disagree with that as well.
Yeah. So Andrew, just wanted kind of hear some final comments, I guess, from you. I want to see if you kind of have any kind of final comments to make, but I also want to hear, I guess, your comment on some of the activities that the Action for Public Housing Action for Public Housing has been doing in New South Wales in relation to maybe your relationship with public housing kind of tenants, because I know I'm aware that there has been a number of public housing groups that have sort of developed that have been kind of led by the residents of some of the public housing estates that have been impacted by, you know, New South Wales government sell-offs.
Yeah, well, one thing that Action Public Housing is very feels is extremely important is that we're there to amplify the voices and give voice to public housing tenants. So at all our rallies, you know, sometimes all of the speakers are public housing tenants. You know, we had a barbecue in Waterloo last weekend, Aboriginal speakers and public and other public housing tenants. And so it's really focused on those voices. And we're leading up to a big rally on February the 11th at Sydney Town Hall, it's Campaign for Housing Justice. And, you know, we're calling for, you know, a massive expansion of public housing and a rent freeze. And we're trying to get basically housing out of the market and to be seen as a human right. You know, through our campaign activities, you know, we're holding, regular planning meetings where everyone is invited and welcome to participate. We hold, you know, monthly pickets in prominent places, handing out leaflets. So it's very democratic and very participatory you know, it's trying to build a broad coalition, unions, student groups, tenants and so on. And I think because of the openness of that and the good political aims, it's actually being successful in getting heard and exposing the issue.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. And all the best, I think, with the rally that you have planned on February the 11th.
Solidarity from Melbourne.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sue and Jacob. Bye.